Our next guest on the program is a two-time Emmy and Golden Globe winner. Her iconic role in All in the Family, also on the spinoff Gloria, Gilmore Girls, 9 to 5, Still Standing, Marin, terrific movie roles in The Getaway and 5 Easy Pieces. She's worked on Broadway in The Odd Couple, Grease, Wally's Cafe, and more. And she's back in Maine, appearing at the Ogunquit Playhouse in 42nd Street, which opens very soon. We're so happy to have Sally Struthers with us here on Downtown. Sally, welcome back to Maine.
Thank you. I'm not quite there yet, Rich Kimball. I'm in New York rehearsing 42nd Street, and I will get up to Maine on Saturday, and then we'll start pecking the show on Sunday night at the theater, and then our first audience comes in on Wednesday, June 19th, and we have 2-3 previews, and then the next show they call opening night.
Yeah, well, this has really become for you your second home. I know it's been more than a decade. How long have you been coming here to Maine to perform?
17 years in a row, not missing a single year, and a couple of years doing 2 shows in 1 year. So I've done 19 or 20 shows in 17 years at the Ogunquit Playhouse.
What is it that keeps you coming back to Maine and specifically to Ogunquit?
It must be the water.
That's it, yeah.
What keeps me coming back? Can I be literal with you?
Yes.
They keep asking me.
That's always a good thing when they keep asking, right?
Yeah, the year they don't ask anymore is going to be really awkward for everybody.
Well, I know you like working with the people there. Specifically, I'm told that you found a unique way to honor the artistic director there, Brad Kenny.
Yes, his full name is Bradford T. Kenny. And Bradford T. Kenny, when he arrived at the Playhouse 12 years ago, became a dear friend of mine, so much so that when I'm not working, I have stayed with him. He has come to my house probably 6-7 times and stayed with me in Los Angeles. But my 2 Scotty dogs, Bob and Bananas, passed away 7 years ago, quite close to one another in time. And it was doubly heartbreaking. And the pain was so severe that I got to that point that I thought I'll never, ever have another dog again. I'd already owned, you don't own an animal, you share a life with an animal, but I've had in my life about 9 dogs by then, and those 2 passing away so quickly, and one of them so horribly, I won't even say what happened, that I went a full year without a dog, and then I was in Ogunquit 5 years ago doing a show, doing Witches of Eastwick. I'm walking down the street, and a woman was coming toward me with 2 Scotty dogs. And I fell to my knees in the street and was rolling around and playing with them and laughing. And I swear that woman could hear my heart pop open. I think it made a loud noise. And I got my cell phone out, and I called Brad Kenny, and I said, Brad, your 2 dogs, your 2 terriers, didn't you say you got them from a rescue group somewhere here in New England? He said, yes, the New England Terrier Rescue Group. I said, well, could you call them and tell them I want a dog and see if they have any dogs? So I kept having to push him because he was busy mounting another show, and it was crazy time. And finally he called, and he called me back. He said, they just got a shipment on a truck of 60 dogs from the Midwest. So I will drive you down there on your day off, and we'll look at all the dogs, and hopefully you'll find one you want to make your own. And it still took another week or more for him to get me down there. When I walked in, there was 1 dog. And I thought, I guess this is good. Then I don't have any trouble deciding. I guess this dog is going to be my dog. And it's a cute little wheaten-haired, very, very platinum blonde-haired Cairn Terrier, which is one of the 3 breeds of terriers that come from Scotland. There's the Scottish Terrier, the West Highland Terrier, which people call the Westies, and the Cairn Terrier. And driving home with Brad in the car, I said, would you mind if I named him after you? Because you're the reason I have him. So he became little Bradford T. Kenny. And I got home to Los Angeles after Witches of Eastwick closed and went walking out of my front gate down the street. My neighbor was coming up the street with her dog, Mary. And Mary said, oh, Sally, is this your dog? And I said, yeah. She said, oh, what is it? I said, it's a Cairn Terrier. Is it a boy or girl? It's a boy. What'd you name him? I said, Bradford T. Kenny. And she said, oh, what does the T stand for? And I had never asked Brad Kenny what his middle name was. So I said, Carrier. That's Carrier Kenny.
I love it. That is a great story.
Yeah.
We're talking to Sally Struthers here on Downtown. She's coming back to Maine very soon. 42nd Street at the Ogunquit Playhouse opens on the 19th of June. Man, there are a few plays out there in the canon of American musicals that are just more fun, more energetic than the singing and dancing that takes place in this show.
That's true, and I found that out this last week of rehearsal. I have to admit, as I did to our beloved, renowned, award-winning director of this piece, the famous choreographer director that put this together in the first place, Randy Skinner, I took him aside and I said, you're going to have to be patient with me because I have never seen 42nd Street. I know there's a film of it out there somewhere, and I know it's been done on stages across America. I've never seen it. So when I was asked to play Maggie Jones, I don't even know what that character's about. So help! So, of course you don't rehearse in order. You rehearse all cattywampus. You know, the dancers go downstairs another floor to a bigger room, and they're learning dances. You're upstairs doing scene work, but somebody can't get here till the afternoon, so you jump ahead to scenes in Act 2, and then you go to a scene in Act 1. And by the end of the week, you've not rehearsed anything in order. I still don't know what the play's about, but maybe this week I'll learn.
Oh, I'm sure.
But all I know is it's a lot of fun, and there's 29 people in the cast, which is a very large cast. And 20 of them at least are tap dancing their feet off. And it's very uplifting and happy and crazy and energetic and so like all the 1930s movies that you saw, you know, with from Busby Berkeley to Jimmy Cagney. I'm sure I'm not the first actress who's playing Maggie Jones, completely stealing my persona from Ethel Merman.
But that's not a bad place to steal from.
Yeah. Yeah, nice and loud and brassy.
That's it. You've worked with some great ensembles on stage through the years, but also in your television roles. And we played the theme from the Gilmore Girls coming into the segment here. How much fun was it to work with that group and in many ways to be a role model to a lot of them?
You know, I liken it to getting the brass ring again the second time. You know, how many people in their lives ever get the brass ring at all, let alone once? And of course, it was a brass ring I couldn't even really grab onto. It was so big, which we call All in the Family. And, you know, well-meaning friends and strangers said to me after those years, well, it's kind of a shame that you got your fame so early in your career because it's going to be all downhill from here. And I think when Gilmore Girls came along, I was riding a carousel and there was that brass ring again. And I feel that show was as well written and as enjoyed by its fans as All in the Family was. It was an honor to be on that for 7 years and then to do the reboot that they did like 8 years after the fact,
right,
when they shot those four 90-minute movies to air on Netflix.
We were talking 2 or 3 weeks ago with a writer who had tracked down Bob Rafelson and did a piece on him.
Is he still alive?
He is. He's like, well, and that was the whole piece, is that someone had reported he was dead. He reached out to Esquire and said, I'm not dead yet, but don't tell everybody because I may owe some people money. What was the experience like working with him in the great film, Five Easy Pieces?
Well, he was a wonderful director and a very patient, kind, interesting man. And I was in this movie with Jack Nicholson. And I knew he was special because I had seen him in that movie with Dennis Hopper and Peter Fonda, which was really his first breakout film.
Right.
But he wasn't, when I worked with him, he still wasn't the star, the huge star, the luminary that he became. But I had a couple of scenes with him in the movie, and little did I know that when I was up there way north of Los Angeles in a motel room, you know, memorizing my lines and having to come out in the morning one morning and do this scene with Jack Nicholson, that Bob Rafelson was going to ask me to do a topless. And I am a very modest woman, and I was a very modest young woman, and I grew up in a house with just a mom and a sister, and we did not leave the bedroom and cross the 3-foot wide hall to go into the matchbox sized bathroom without having pajamas or a bathrobe on. None of us ever saw each other naked. And he was wanting me to take off my blouse and just wear my jeans and my boots. And it took a lot of talking me into it. And then I had to deal with what my mother thought when the film came out. And I was in Portland, Oregon, visiting her, which is where I was born and grew up. And she was leaving the house, and she said, "I'm going to see your movie." And I said, "Oh, please, Mom, please don't. You won't like it." And she said, "Why won't I like it?" I said, "Because they made me do a sexy scene with Jack Nicholson, and the director made me take my blouse off, and I didn't have a bra on, and I promise you I squeezed up hard against Jack Nicholson so you couldn't see my breast, but I think in the end, in the last shot, you might see a piece of one of my breasts." And I said, "I'm mortified that he talked me into it and that I did it, and it's going to embarrass you, and you're going to be mad at me, and you're not going to want to talk to me. Please don't go see the movie." She went, and I waited 3 hours, and when she came home, she opened the front door. She walked right past me to her bedroom and shut the door. Never said a word to me.
Wow.
And we never talked about it, but I knew that I had embarrassed her. I knew she was disappointed in me, and I never did anything like that again.
That's incredible story. Sally Struthers with us here on Downtown. 3 or 4 years ago when you were up here at Ogunquit, Valerie Harper was working there as well, and you had an interesting history, although you'd never worked together before. You had tied for the Emmy Award back in the 1970s. And when she was here, she took a little turn for the worse health-wise. Have you stayed in touch with Valerie?
Yes, and it's miraculous that Valerie is with us and kicking and enjoying her life. When she was diagnosed many years ago with a strange form of cancer, it's not brain cancer. It is cancer of the lining of the brain. I mean, that's kind of a rare cancer.
Mm.
And every time, and everyone, including her husband, Tony Cacciotti, thought that she was down for the count, you know, scientists have come up with another drug and another way to keep people like Valerie going. And having shared the Emmy Award with her back in 1972 for Best Supporting Actress in a Situation Comedy, I don't believe there's ever been a tie since in the Emmy Awards, and that was 1972. I was honored to be up there at the podium with her. And every time we've seen each other at any event since then, we always glom onto one another like we're long-lost sisters. So there's that relationship. And then when I was told that she would be in Nice Work If You Could Get It, and I was overjoyed that she was well enough to come do it. And then we were several days into performing it for an audience, and she did take a slight turn for the worse and had to leave. And, you know, we all held our breath because, please, dear God, keep Valerie with us on this earth for longer. She has more to give and to teach and to love, and she's still here. And then it was a joy for me that Brad took my word that my friend Brenda Vaccaro could do it, and he flew her in, and she learned the role in 2.5 days. And she went on, and she was terrific.
We'd be remiss if we didn't bring up at least one question about All in the Family. And you've talked about it endlessly through the years. But as you look back on that experience, was there one episode, one performance that you gave that you're particularly proud of?
Oh, man. 24 shows a year for 8 years. That's almost 200 shows. I would have to say, if I had to vastly generalize and slightly exaggerate, that the first 5 seasons of All in the Family, I had about 3 shows per line, and they were, "I'll help you set the table, Ma. Michael, where are you going?" And, "Oh, Daddy, stop it." And then the next week, the same 3 lines, but in a different order. But come the 5th year of the show, they made Mike and Gloria moved next door into the Jeffersons' old house, and they let Gloria be pregnant. And then I had a lot more to play, and the part became much more fun for me. And of those 3 years, I would say probably the show where I was overdue to give birth and very cranky, and had a lot of snarky lines to say to my husband. That one was a lot of fun for me. And then the one where I was giving birth, and dad was in a minstrel show in blackface, and he came to the hospital in blackface. And my baby, that was pretty funny. And I'd say way back in the early years, maybe the first season when Gloria had her miscarriage, and I had a scene with my father who came up to the bedroom with a teddy bear he had purchased to tell me how sorry he was I lost my baby, was probably one of the tenderest scenes I ever got to play.
I remember it well. Well, you're working hard while you're here in Maine. Do you get a chance to enjoy any of the water and the food and everything else that goes with Maine when you're here performing in Ogunquit?
Oh, Rich, you are asking the wrong person about enjoying water.
Oh, really?
I am scared poopless of water. I own a home in Hollywood that I'm never in because I'm always on the road doing plays, musicals. But other family members that I adore live in my house. And it came with a swimming pool. I would never have intentionally purchased that with a swimming pool. And I've owned it 21 years, and I have never been in the pool. I don't go in the ocean. I don't go in lakes. I don't go in rivers. I don't go in hot tubs. I don't like water. I actually hyperventilate in the shower if water gets in my face when I'm washing my hair. I do love from a great distance looking at the Ogunquit Beach. I do love that when friends and family come to visit me in Ogunquit, they have the beach to go to. But it's not for me.
I'm not going to judge you a bit, Sally, because I grew up here. I don't go in the ocean. I don't eat lobster. And I don't even ski here in the winter. So I'm on your side in this.
Well, you tell me, Rich Kimball, what is it that you enjoy about Maine?
I enjoy looking at all those things. I love the beauty of the ocean and the mountains and the lakes and the fact that it's not terribly crowded and the people, by and large, are nice. But, you know, I don't need to swim in the ocean or eat the lobster to appreciate it.
Now, do you not eat lobster because you've just never really gotten to have a hankering for it, or are you allergic like Brad Kenny?
I'm not allergic. The texture bothers me a little bit. Something, and it's too much work. That's the other thing. If I'm going to eat something, I don't need to put in 10 minutes of labor cracking shells to get to it.
You're talking about a waiter bringing you a whole lobster.
Right.
Rich, you have to order a lobster tail or go someplace and get yourself a lobster roll.
There's
no work involved in that. None.
I know. But this is true confession time. I've been here 60 years. I mean, that's all. I've never eaten a lobster roll. How can I even live in this state? How can I be a Mainer?
Because you obviously love the state. So do I. I mean, if I win the lottery tomorrow, which would probably mean I'd have to buy a ticket, I would buy a second home in Maine.
Well, we'd love to have you here. We count you as a Mainer. You've been coming here for so long. By the way, my wife, now, she didn't work with you directly. She was doing a show with Renee Taylor. This is about a decade ago. She was an assistant stage manager down at Ogunquit Playhouse, but said nothing but good things about you and the way everybody talked about you and how much they loved you coming back to the state every year.
What is your wife's name?
Her name is Abby. Well, it's Abby Kimball. Now it was Abby Hayward. Then, a decade or so ago.
Hayward Kimball.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't get to meet her, but please give her my love and tell her to come down and visit us.
I will do that. Well, hopefully we can both get down there and see a show. We're so glad to have you on your way back to Maine for another performance at Ogunquit Playhouse. Again, 42nd Street opens on June 19th and plays through the 13th of July. Sally, it's great to talk with you. Thank you so much for visiting with
us. Thank you. Are you going to tell all the folks the phone number for the box office, or do you already have it right there in front of you, Rich?
I don't have it right here in front of me, but if you do, you can share it, and if not, I will tell people about it later on.
It's so easy to remember. It's area code 207, and then it's 646, and then the next part's even easier, 5511. 207-646-5511.
I will shout it to the mountaintops throughout the next hour of our program.
Oh, thank you, Rich. By the way, there was a TV series, and the lead was a man named Richard Kimball, but you know that, right?
I have grown up with that. That was a As a Little League baseball player, my coach insisted on calling me the fugitive today. I go through airports and I have to tell people my wife is fine, thank you very much, and I'm not looking for a one-armed man.
I'm sorry to be the 4,182nd person to bring this up to you.
Not at all. I'm waiting for my check from Harrison Ford. I assume it's coming any day now.
Okay. If I see him, I'll tell him.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Sally, thank you so much. Have a great time this summer, and we hope to talk with you again down the road.
Thank you very much.
Sally Struthers here on Downtown. Again, Ogunquit Playhouse, the place to go to see 42nd Street, 207-646-5511.